The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome along to The Punt. We're here with Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern to have a look at the big game of the week. Fulham versus Sheffield United in the FA Cup replay. It is the big one, this one, Derek. We're also going to have a quick look at the Premier League. Of course, as we record this tonight, it's Manchester City versus Chelsea. Already previewed that one on the pre-weekend podcast, but we can still have a look at the top and bottom of the division. Guys, you both well?
Yeah, excellent.
Enjoyed the Premier League weekend so far. The outright prices for the Premier League, we've discussed this a lot. Man City 8-13, Chelsea 7-2, Arsenal 9-2, 14-1 Liverpool. Then you get up to triple figure prices for Manchester United, 125, Tottenham and Everton. I guess obviously tonight could change that. I mean, if Chelsea do win, no one's giving them a prayer, by the way. But if Chelsea do win tonight, as we record this, then those prices would change quite a bit, Derek.
Well, it would. If Chelsea was to win, it'd be level on points with City, a couple of points behind Arsenal, and you know they have got a reasonable chance against City because Aguero's not playing, is he? Yeah. You know, and that's a big thing. But still, it's in the eyes of all the experts, and I'm not going to include myself as one of them. But in my eyes, too, Manchester City, it's theirs for the taking. Actually, City, as soon as they get Aguero back. Anyway, City will win. And I do expect them to beat Chelsea on Monday, by the way.
Top four finish market is the one that everyone's interested in at the moment because people think that Man City have pretty much got the title sewn up. Man City, obviously, 500-1 on. Chelsea, 33-1 on. Arsenal, 14-1 on. So, I mean, if you take it as read, and not everyone does, that those three are going to be in the top four. Then you've got Liverpool at 1-2. Only picked up a point at the weekend, of course. Manchester United, 3-1. It's pretty much the mantra for Man United at the minute is one step forward, two steps back. Tottenham then 3-1 and Everton 5-1. Tottenham getting a draw as well, and Everton bouncing back really well. Manager was absolutely chuffed with them this weekend, the way they bounced back and got the win. Ron, 1-0 at half, 1-0 down to Aston Villa at half time. You know, obviously off the back of the Liverpool result, could have gone one or two ways, and he changed things and he got a result, which was the winner. Both goals were good actually, but the winner was a cracker, wasn't it?
I thought it was noticeable though that he got distemp in playing again.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I thought that if he'd have played the same defence that played against Liverpool, I think Villa would have beaten him. In fact, as you know, they haven't been a week in that respect. Mm-hmm. I didn't think distemp was going to be playing. A good result for them. There's a suggestion that Villa maybe handed the initiative over to them after being in control of the game, but I was a big sort of supporter of Everton early in the season, but I've got to be honest, over the last few games I've seen them play, they're scrambling a lot. They're scrambling. They don't look quite as... Maybe it's because there's an expectancy on them now, but they don't look anywhere near as fluent as they were early in the season. And I don't think... Yeah, that away record they had, I think there'll be teams when they go to other grounds now that will beat them.
Yeah.
For me now, after this weekend, I don't think I think the top four is what it is.
Right. Yeah. Arsenal. So
they're not necessarily in that order, but I think the four teams in there will be the four teams at the end now.
Yeah. Derek,
I still think Tottenham have got a say in it. They play Everton at the weekend. Tottenham.
They've got a relatively kind run in, haven't they?
Yeah, a bit of a worry that he couldn't beat Hull at the weekend.
Yes, yeah.
But I think the difference in play, Liverpool 1-2, Tottenham 3-1, and they're only 3 points behind them. Mm. You know, Liverpool play Arsenal at the weekend. You know, they could get 0 points there. It could be level by Sunday night. Mm. I think the only shade of value there is Tottenham 3-1. I think Liverpool are way too short, to be honest. You know, I'm a Liverpool fan. I dearly love to see them there, but no way would I be putting a penny on them at those odds.
No. Tottenham have got a tricky start to March. They have Chelsea away, Arsenal at home, Southampton at home and Liverpool away. And then once they get into April, they go Sunderland at home, West Brom away, Fulham at home, Stoke away, West Ham away and Aston Villa at home. So, I mean, obviously, no easy games in the Premier League and all that. But,
yeah, but the last five, that's all you want. If you're heading for fourth place, that's the kind of running you want.
Indeed, yeah. And the Europa League, obviously, is in the melting pot for Tottenham, which Liverpool haven't got, which is a consideration, isn't it? You know, when you're having to... they're at home to Dnipro and then, you know, obviously they have to... They go away to Dnipro first and then they're at home to them, so you know that's not an easy trip by any stretch. Liverpool too short, so if you're looking for value, and obviously Derek, you'd take Tottenham over Man U at the same price.
Oh, yeah, I can't. 4 points ahead of Man U. What's going on there?
Man U probably have got the easiest running of all, I guess, of all the teams. But, yeah, they're still not doing it, are they? They're still not convincing anyone.
No, not at all. No. I mean, they had the three Musketeers back at the weekend. Still didn't do them any good, did it?
No, it didn't at all. Ron, I
must admit, that was the game, particularly with Liverpool, maybe not getting 4 points. I thought if they were going to make any inroads, that would probably be the game they did it in. They're not out of it because the big thing they've got in the locker is they've got to play Liverpool at Old Trafford. But that is definitely a must-win game. And like I say, if you're chasing people, I always think you're better off having to play those.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Because you can haul them in that way. If you haven't got to play them, then it becomes even harder. But it's going to be very hard for Man U now to make the Champions League spot.
Yeah. Let me just ask Ron Lee one question. You know, everyone's going on Man United. It'll be different Man United now. They've got Rooney fit, they've got Van Persie fit, and they've got Mata in. Now, would you, Ron, as a manager, would you have them three, or would you have Sturridge, Suarez, and Gerrard?
Oh. I think I'd have Suarez instead of any of them.
That's a tough one, that, Derek.
Well, Liverpool are 7 points clear, you see, and people are saying Man United will claw that gap back because they've got these three back, but Liverpool have got an equally good three, you know, in those positions.
And then
the supporting cast is... there's nothing in it in the supporting cast. Both rubbish.
Yeah, that is a tough one, though, Derek. When you look at that, I mean, I'm trying... Rooney... God. So, you try and do a like-for-like, wouldn't you? So you'd say Suarez or Robin Van Persie, Suarez all day long. Rooney or Sturridge, I'd probably take Rooney.
Yeah.
And Mata or Gerrard. Oh, my God. I'd have to take Gerrard, I think.
Oh, you'd take Gerrard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you take two out of the three. Can I have Suarez, Gerrard and Rooney?
But you could argue with the other way around. You could argue, you know, Suarez against Rooney, I'd have Suarez.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Van Persie against Sturridge, I'd probably have Sturridge.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
No,
Derek.
Van Persie,
fully fit.
Yeah,
obviously that's a rider. Yeah, but I think I'd probably take the Liverpool three on that basis. It's two out of the three I'd take over the other ones.
Yeah,
I guess. But that's a tricky one, that, Derek.
I mean, you talk about United, but they lost two centre halves on the field at a time.
Derek won't buy this, but I thought they were very unlucky. I mean, the first goal was a massive deflection.
Yeah.
Even the second one, which was a great strike by Adam. The guy's dummy. If he tries that dummy 100 times, he's not going to do it again, is he? I mean, he's air kicked it, managed to get a little nick on it, and it's still gone to Adam. In fact, it's probably taken the pace off it a bit for him.
And then right at the end there was that much going on when they were hitting woodwork and stuff like that.
They were very unlucky.
I thought they were a touch unlucky on that. But, you know, we've been saying that all season about that, you know, they haven't had too many breaks.
Yeah. But you could argue maybe it's karma and it's coming round to... They've had quite a lot of breaks over the years, haven't they?
Yeah.
I just feel sorry for Moyes in all this. How come he gets all the bad luck? Did you say... Someone put on Twitter... Mata going to Man United for Moyes to manage is like giving your grandma an iPhone. Which I thought was harsh. But,
giving you a grandma what?
An iPhone to use. Which I thought was very harsh. But, and then there was loads of pictures last night of the Denver coach up in arms, and they'd superimposed Moyes' face. So they are harsh, aren't they? Let's have a look at the bottom. At least they're up near the top. The battle for these teams is getting hotter and hotter. Fulham 8-15 to go down. Palace 11-10. Cardiff 11-8. Norwich 7-4. West Ham 5-2, Sunderland 11-4, Hull 7-2, West Brom 7-2, Stoke 6-1, Swansea 8-1, and Aston Villa 14-1. They're the ones who the traders have priced up, so that they think 11 of them are in danger. That's because Villa are on 27 points, Fulham are on 19, so 8 points separating the top of that group from the bottom.
Did you see, incidentally, where... I know it's paper talk, but I bet there's a bit to it. Fulham thinking of making Kirbishley manager.
No, I didn't see that, because he's in the back room now.
He's
in the back room now, isn't he?
He's like technical director or something like that.
Yeah,
and he got Ray Wilkins in there as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. Interesting. He seems like Ronnie Mullenstein seems like a lovely guy. But that doesn't always cut it, does it, in football management? When he's chatting away, he seems very jovial, doesn't he? You could pick a new one every week here, couldn't you? I mean, this weekend, again, Derek won't agree with this, but suddenly West Ham looked like they had purpose, looked like they had a target. Swansea looked bereft, by the way, but, you know, suddenly they had that style going, the way they want to play, Ron. Hit Carroll. Carroll nods it down, does what he's good at. I mean,
they are arguably the two best headers I've seen Carroll ever make.
Unbelievable.
There's a lot normally falls off his head.
Yeah.
They were terrific headers where he got up, and particularly the second one when he got up and necked it back across.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
And we got the first header of the season, didn't we?
Yeah, indeed. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I know we you know, Carroll gets some stick on this podcast, mainly from Derek, but the thing is, Ronnie, when you watch Carroll, as someone who's watched football for a few decades, you've watched it for longer than me, but I want him to be great because he's a throwback. He reminds me of great centre forwards of years gone by, in that he's big, he's strong, he can head of the ball, but he does what he does. You know, somehow he manages to have a great game and then unluckily gets himself sent off. I mean, it's just always one step forward, two back.
Hold on a second, hang on. Are we American football now? Big and strong, put him in.
But you know what I mean?
He can't play football. That's the thing. He cannot play football.
But
if he was 6 inches shorter, he'd be as near to Premier League football as I am. He can't play football.
But Derek, it's an if. Now, let's be honest. You look at him at his height, and then I watch this other... Well, fortunately, he's not in the team now. The Ziggich at Birmingham is taller. He couldn't head a bus cue. One thing about Carroll, if you're going to play that way, and, you know, who's advocating playing that way, but that's the way, that's the way it's designed at West Ham. Yeah, well, you're going to hit a front man, and you want your front man to win the biggest percentage of sharing balls in the air. And he does that. And then people like Nolan, who's played with him before, you know, can time the runs off him. Mm. If midfield players are starting making runs past centre forwards who ain't getting the ball, then they're getting cut out of the game. But they do trust him to win a big percentage. He's not my favourite player, I've got to say, and I don't think, unless you're taking him as your 23rd player to a World Cup.
If he goes to the World Cup.
Yeah, but you can always see. Didn't he come on in a game in the last tournament where he turned it round? Was it Sweden? I can't remember the game. And he got a header and he turned it round a little bit, and everybody said he was the saviour. Yeah, if you've got a lot of the other type of players, then he might be worth taking as a surprise packet.
Mm. Yeah, can I just qualify what I was saying, Derek? I'm not advocating that he's a great player. He reminds me of footballers when I was growing up, and I think I've got a bit of a soft spot for him.
Those footballers could also play lately.
But in my mind, I want Carroll to be what I think he.
Yeah.
What I want, do you know what I mean? I see him as someone who's, you know, who's scoring headers from great crosses into the box and all that. But yeah, he just seems to let, every time he seems to get going, something happens to him.
Yeah,
he's like an accident waiting to happen.
Funnily enough, it'd be interesting to know over his career. I know he got that one season at Newcastle. How many headers from crosses he does score from. I think his biggest value to a team like West Ham is straight balls down the middle that he gets touches on, and Toshak to Keegan.
And
they get a runner off of him. And he also does a hell of a defensive job when he comes back.
He's arguably better in the defensive box than he's in the attacking, isn't he? I mean, was that a blip then, Derek? You think that good performance, was it more about Swansea being poor than West Ham being
poor? Well, it was more like Swansea being poor, and, you know, it brings me on to the prices, you know. You look at the table now, and the one team that you would have hold a little hope for is Fulham, because of the way they're playing. And the change of management, Ron hinted at there, that might help them.
Got a few new players in as well, haven't they?
They have as well, but none of them fill you full of confidence.
No, they're not fighters, are they?
No, the Cardiff signings were arguably better, and even though they rode their luck, I've got a sneaking feeling they might stay up now, Cardiff, even though they got a rookie manager. I'll tell you, I'm going to throw two names at you.
Brom's going to be one of them.
No, they're not. They're not, Ron. I'll tell you who I'm going to throw at you. 14-1, Aston Villa.
Really?
No chance.
And 8-1, Swansea.
Swansea,
I've said all along, I think they'll get well embroiled at the end, and I'm not sure they would know how to get out of it. But Villa, no, not now.
I think Albion
are in big trouble.
Do you?
I think Albion have had the worst, if you took the points gathered over the last year, I think you'd find Albion would be bottom of it.
Yeah.
And I know they are fearful here. Fearful. I think they've got some half-decent players, actually, and they seem to put in a lot of decent performances, but they don't get the results. Before the last day of the transfer window, pre-season, I'd have had them as favourites to go down.
They've got West Brom's running. I mean, obviously there's plenty of games to go here, but they've got Chelsea after, they've got Crystal Palace next, and they've got Chelsea. Then they've got a run of games where you would hope, or a couple of games where you'd hope they'd get something. Then they've got Manchester United at home, debatable, you know, on that one, if Man United are flying by then or not. Then towards the end of the season, they've got Tottenham, five games from the end, at home. Then they've got Man City away, West Ham at home, Arsenal away, Stoke at home. That Stoke game's a bit of a bogey one, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, just a tough run-in for West Brom, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it is. They've got those tough games, but they've also got seven games, seven relegation six-pointers. And going by what Ron said, that's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
want that.
Yeah.
So I think they've got more about them. There's definitely three worse teams than West Brom. And I think Villa are a worse team than West Brom, to be honest.
What about, I mean, at this stage...
Villa are 27 points now.
Yeah, I know, but I can't see them getting any more. I can't believe they're on 27 points. You never seem to win.
It's pretty much impossible to predict from now how many points will be needed. But, you know, you look at... I mean, even Swansea, 8-1, on 24 points... They're the sort of team who, on a given day, Ron, could win three games before the end of the season. That'll put them on to 33. Would that be anywhere near enough, do you think?
No. They wouldn't be happy on that. No. I think if you said to them you've got 33 points now, they'd be worried. It'd be big worried. I think the highest, the lowest anybody's ever stayed up with was 34, and that was West Brom when Robbo was manager. So you've got to be, you know, people talk about it being 37, 38 to have a chance.
Mm. God, I mean, I tell you what, if it is that high, then there's some, all those teams, I mean, you look at like Cardiff and Fulham, 19 points Fulham have got. That means if they've got 37 in their minds, that's a hell of a run they need to go on, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they don't look capable of it, do they?
No. I mean, Danny Murphy last night on Match Today, on Saturday night on Match Today, was pretty much saying they're down, wasn't he? And
yeah.
You know, he knows the club, he seems fairly sensible, So Swansea's still at 8-1. I mean, that price is the same as it was last time we talked about this, isn't it?
Well, Swansea, they were appalling against West Ham. They made West Ham look like Barcelona.
I don't think Swansea would know how to get in a dogfight.
No.
A lot of the teams you're talking about, your West Ham from the first ball of the season, they know that they've got to play survival football.
Yeah.
And there's about four or five of the teams in that category.
Mm.
I don't think Swansea are. I think Swansea have got this philosophy, and it's been good for them, you know, that we are such a good side in possession, and we do this and we do that. And you look at the players and you think, yeah, you know, I'm a big fan like a Shelby, like we keep talking. Boney up front's a very good player. But they don't win games, you know.
Mm.
Have they won one in the last 10 or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. They beat Fulham at home, which, you know, even that's no great shakes, is it?
And they've also got the Europa League to contend with as well, by the way.
Oh, Christ, I've forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
They do themselves a favour getting kicked out of that.
Yeah, well, they play Napoli next, so they probably will.
Yeah.
It's three wins in 16, Ron, if you take it back even further.
Yeah.
Since October.
They've got Cardiff at home at the weekend.
Yeah,
what
massive
I mean, that's a relegation million point to that one, isn't
it?
See, West Brom have only won one away game, albeit at United, but it's the only away game they've won. I mean, they had that thing at Chelsea where they should have won the penalty in the last kick of the match, and they've had two-goal leads against Aston Villa after 8 minutes and got 1 point out of it.
Yeah, by the same token, Ron, they've only lost five away. Palace have lost 10 away.
Mm.
You know, they've drawn an awful lot away from home.
Yeah.
You know what you said, Derek, about, and you both said about, you know, playing teams around you is crucial.
Yeah.
That applies to everyone.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's so many.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Because there's 10 clubs who could arguably go down.
Yeah.
You know, you could really, I mean, that's why it's so fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
actually, you'd be in trouble if it wasn't those 10. You'd be in trouble if it was the top 10 you were playing in the rest of the season.
Yeah, which is, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, but I mean, Sunderland, fantastic result for them at the weekend, and they're away games. They've got all of them, and Norwich, you know, they've got all those, the top teams. I think they've got Man United, Tottenham, Everton, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal to play away from home. But then the home games are all ones that you class as winnable.
And what's amazing, in this conversation, nobody's mentioned Sunderland, who like were dead and buried, weren't they?
And
Crystal Palace were dead and buried.
Yeah, Sunderland on 24 points, Crystal Palace on 23. You know,
I've never had Palace going down.
No, you said you think they could get out. But they wouldn't have got out unless they changed the manager.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Sunderland, I thought they were nailed on. I don't think that now. But yeah, that's a point to put. You know, the League Cup final coming up.
Yeah. Mm. They haven't got Everton. That was wrong, actually. This is Sunderland's run of away games: Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Norwich, Tottenham, Chelsea, Manchester United.
Oh, God.
The home games though are Hull, Crystal Palace, West Ham, Everton, Cardiff, and Swansea. So it's all in their hands.
They're going to pick up from that. They're going to pick up 12 points, which will pick 36 points. They'll finish with.
Yeah,
but they performed better against the biggest side this season.
They've gone five away games without defeat.
Yeah. Oh no, it's six, isn't it? Drew at Villa and West Ham. Beat Everton, drew at Cardiff, beat Fulham, beat Newcastle.
Jeez,
so, I mean, you know, they're absolutely flying all of a sudden, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is pick, you know, go on, pick three then for us, guys. See what we come out with.
We'll pick Fulham.
Yeah, Fulham.
Yeah.
Let's toss this up. I'm not as confident as Cardiff, although I think the acquisitions might give them a little impetus. I'd probably go Fulham, Cardiff, and I might throw West Brom in there.
Right.
Yeah. I might throw West Brom in there.
Mm. Yeah. So Fulham 8 to 15. You could probably bat them to be bottom as well. Cardiff 11 to 8, and West Brom 7 to 2.
Only one team adds on. That's amazing, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
To go down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would go Fulham, yeah. I just can't see them getting out of it. And you know what? I wouldn't back anything short in this market because one weekend program changes the odds massively. We've seen it. So I'm going to go for those two big price ones I've just said. Swansea at 8-1 and Villa at 14-1.
Mm, yeah.
I might have Swansea in 3 out of 4. Certainly wouldn't have Villa anywhere near.
It looks a bit big, doesn't it? Swansea 8-1. It's tempting. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating that. All the stay up markets are available as well. Villa, it's just basically the opposite way around. So Fulham 11-8, Palace, but a lot less value. Yeah, a lot less value. And it's better to be looking at the relegation market, really. Let's have a look at the one game that concerns us this week, then, which is Fulham in their FA Cup replay against Sheffield United. The sending off in the first leg, you could argue, helped Fulham quite a lot. Michael Doyle was sent off in the first leg, and it ended up 1-1 at Bramall Lane after the Blades had taken the lead and pulled it back with 15 minutes to go, and that's how it stayed. Fulham could well do without this. Having said that, Sheffield United could well do without this.
Cool, I tell you what, I didn't realise. I looked at the league table last night, Sheffield United.
Oh, they're in awful trouble, Ron.
They've never been in the fourth division, have they?
No, I don't think they have. I don't know that for sure, but if you say that, Ron, then
I can't ever remember Sheffield United in the fourth division.
Yeah, they went through a spell around from November until just after Christmas when they were unbeaten for I think it was for about 8 games.
Well, they beat Villa in the cup, didn't they? Yeah.
Beat Cambridge, and then they'd lost one game in the league before they beat Villa in the cup, and then they're back on another run where they can't pick up a win. 4 games without a win. There are a couple of draws in there, including the Fulham one.
See them second bottom.
Yeah. Who needs this the most, I suppose? I mean, it could be another draw, couldn't it?
I think you got to go Fulham. You'd have to go Fulham, I mean.
7-10 they are. 7-10 to beat a team in the bottom three of League One.
It's a fantastic,
unbelievable
fantastic
price,
bet.
Isn't it?
Now, sorry, Ron, for interrupting. I just wanted to get this in. The reason the 7-10 is that your odds compilers have seen the 11 changes Muhlenstein made in the first game and thought, well, he ain't interested in the FA Cup. You know, he's probably going to do the same again. But he won't, because that game came 2 days before a game against Swansea, a relegation six-pointer. You could argue it was a relegation six-pointer this weekend against Man United, by the way. But they've got 5 days... 5 days grace before that one, and they probably ain't going to get anything at Old Trafford anyway. And the carrot here, they're at home to a League One side, possibly League Two side soon. And in the next round, they got Forest or Preston at home to get to the, you know, they can't possibly throw in the towel here. The 7-10, it's an unbelievable bet. And bear in mind, by the way, the Sheffield United have got, they play Shrewsbury at the weekend. They were in the relegation trouble with them. You know, in my eyes, if you're in League One or League Two, what does it matter? You know, who cares? Just the same anyway. But they won't have it that way. So they might be even be thinking, well, hang on, Saturday's game's more important. But whatever way you look at it, Fulham at 7-10, it's one of those unmissable bets of the season.
Well, the other thing is, of course, the manager cannot afford to get beaten at home by a club in the lower
region. Not if that paper talk that we were talking about earlier on is anywhere near true.
To get beaten.
No.
And I'm still a great believer in a win tonight could give them that little boost to get them off on a run.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing, whatever you do, sometimes a win in any competition can get you back at it again. The one thing, if Sheffield United will send the strongest team they've got, it's a club thing. His old man used to do the same, and he will do the same. There's no, I don't think there's any question of them leaving players out for Shrewsbury. He'll want to win this tonight, but you've got to fancy Fulham.
Those prices. I mean, if you think they concede Fulham, which wouldn't be a massive surprise, would it? It's 13-5 for Fulham to win, but both teams scoring, which might attract a few people. And if 7-10 is not good enough, and it probably should be, to be fair.
I mean, when you look at Fulham, you're sort of looking. You keep thinking about Hagelaar, Sidwell, people like that. They've got about five or six half decent players who ought to be playing better than they are playing.
They looked dreadful at the weekend defensively, didn't they? I mean, Southampton are a nice team on their day. They can, you know, they can rip teams like that apart, but they looked so slow, Ron, didn't they? So pedestrian as well. I mean, just so it's a strange situation. Some good goals from Southampton, though. To be fair, Lallana, Lambert.
That last goal was just a thing of beauty.
Do you know what? You know, when you're watching highlights, you know, obviously you think, well, why are they showing a? What about the ball that got played to him was fantastic from Lambert.
Well, it got missed by the commentator at first.
Yeah,
it only went out.
I was thinking they're not. The only reason they're showing this is because they're going to score. How are they going to score from here? Yeah. How are Fulham going to let them score from here?
Yeah, exactly.
And he got absolutely ripped to bits when he turned inside him. But that ball was.
I'll tell you what, you talk about great goals. I'll tell you what I taped and watched it again last night. They showed the Brazilian team of 1970.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed the last goal.
Yeah.
Where virtually about 20 players play passes to each other.
Yeah.
Poor Carlos Alberto scores.
Yeah.
It's commonly described as putting the exclamation mark on the World Cup, that goal.
Yeah, it was great. It was just some of the passing in it was nonchalant, to say the least, wasn't it?
Tossed out a little roll back to him at the end.
It was superb, wasn't it?
Great name for football as well. Tossed out! You don't have them like that anymore.
Right at the start of the move, Ron, when... I forget the player's name, you tell me.
Claudio Odo.
Well, right at the back, he kind of takes someone on, then goes back on himself and just lays it off. Just for fun. There's no need for it. So Fulham at 7-10 is good enough for you, Derek.
It's just unmissable, Lee.
Yeah.
Unmissable.
Yeah. If you fancy, if you're looking for a bit of an odds against price, then.
Explain one thing, Derek. 7-10 is unmissable.
Just below even. Well, it's, you know, a little. You know, it's not that far off evens, look, Ron. For
£100 on, you get 170 back with your stake.
Okay.
So it's not. You know, it's.
It's not far off doubling your money.
Is that?
Depends how much you have on, I suppose.
Is that what they call it? Is that under 90 minutes?
Yeah. It's got to be 90 minutes.
There's a player called Jamie Murphy who scored a few goals for Sheffield United in the Cup. He's 4-1 to score any time. So if you're looking for a bit of extra value or a bit more fun, then you can maybe have a look at that. But I must admit, I like the match result and both teams to score.
It's got a bit of a sniff.
Do you watch much of Sheffield United? It's Sheffield over the years, recent years.
No, I haven't watched much, but I know a few people who support them.
I saw a kid play on Saturday. He used to play from Jamie Ward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cool, what a good player
he's a decent
looked.
Player, isn't he, yeah.
Oh, he looked a very good player.
Yeah, he is a decent player. I'm trying to think when he left Sheffield United, actually.
Derby were disappointing Saturday. Although they scored three, they weren't... I was a bit disappointed in them.
Yeah.
3-3 that finished, didn't it, Ron?
It was 3-2 when I walked out again, but...
So 7-10 Fulham for you... Derek, Rod, yeah, you'd go for?
Nailed
them. I'd go for Fulham. I can't see past that.
Having
said that, just a matter of interest, what price are Sheffield United?
4-1.
It's crap.
It's not good enough, is it?
Yeah, I thought you were going to come up with something like nines or something like that.
Yeah. I really don't understand these odds, honestly. Mm. They've got them so wrong.
Yeah, and if you think they can win Sheffield United, but you obviously think Fulham might score, it's 7-1 for Sheffield United to win and both teams scoring in the match. The other FA Cup tie, which we're not going to preview, I'll just give you the odds. Preston versus Nottingham Forest, as Derek said, this is the winners of these two ties play each other. 21-10 Preston, 21-10 the draw, and 7-5 for Nottingham Forest. Thank you, chaps. That'll do us.
Great, lad.
Okay. We'll speak before the weekend.
Until approximately.
Brilliant.
Bye. Thanks, Ron. Cheers, Derek. Bye-bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.